Welcome to Get Comfortable, the podcast where we're tossing aside the rule book and diving deep into the juicy, messy, and sometimes awkward world of sex, relationships, communication, and making our own damn rules.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Jody, and we're your hosts.
Find a comfy spot and join us every Monday as we laugh, learn, and challenge the status quo. Subscribe now for a journey into uncharted territories of communication, relationships, and self-discovery.
From the time that we are little girls, we're told fairy tales of love and marriage. We see women being saved by a man who chooses her over and over again in the media that we consume. We're given baby dolls and white dresses to encourage fantasies of marriage and family. We're told that if we're still unmarried by 30, well, let's just hope that doesn't happen, right? So I used to buy into all of that also. There was once a time when I thought that eventually I would get married. In fact, I remember being so at peace about this notion that I never felt a need to rush into it. I always just knew that eventually it would work out. And it has, but not in the way that I initially imagined. So after doing a ton of personal growth and gaining perspective with age, I'm now in a place where I look at marriage through a really different lens. And this started to break down for me personally around the time that I deconstructed from high control religion and began to really think about what I wanted aside from the rules and expectations. So now I'm so, so glad that I never married, because not only do I think it's generally unnecessary, but also the type of man that I used to think I should marry, I would be absolutely miserable with. Aside from my personal experiences, though, I've also learned a lot from the world around me, from seeing friends, whether they're trapped in legal relationships that they don't know how to get out of safely, or, and I've read a ton of case studies about relationship research that has developed because, you know, I love my relationship and communication studies. There is still this prominent narrative in our society that women are the ones who want to be married more than men, but the research actually shows us otherwise. So in today's episode, I thought we would break down some of the newer research that's out there and talk about marriage, particularly as it pertains to women. We're going to go over some of the risks, the benefits, and all of the studies that are going to help us figure out, is it actually a scam? Jody, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah. So women tend to take on the majority of household management, and their working hours in the home increase while men's decrease. In fact, a Pew Research study revealed that even women who are the primary breadwinners of their home still do more housework than their husbands.
Yes, it did not seem to make a difference if a woman was the primary breadwinner or not. Women are still doing all of the housework.
And even like when you hear about cleaner men, it's typically just them bitching at their wives to do more around the house. Like, it's not them helping out or pitching in. It's them like saying, oh, you could have done the dishes today, you know?
And as long as women are posting and bragging when their husband cooks dinner or does the dishes that they're so lucky, all know their husband isn't cooking or doing the dishes very often, that it is a rare special occasion and you are really excited and you're trying to reinforce that positively by giving him praise, which probably is only just telling him that, hey, this was a really exceptional thing and you're doing great to only do this once of every Mother's Day for me. I saw on I think it was a TikTok video somebody made on Father's Day, and it was sarcastic, but it was to make a point, and I thought it was really a good one. They said, for Father's Day this year, I'm cooking my husband dinner. That was it. And yeah. Everybody was like, and? And she's like, what do you mean, and? Like, I am cooking him dinner. I'm taking care of the dishes for him, even. I'm doing it all. And everybody was so mad, and they thought it was so insulting. The men were irate. They said, this is disgusting, and if we treated women this way. And it's like, but that's so funny, because like, they're like, women expect a bunch for Mother's Day. But to them, a bunch is just cooking dinner. And that was the whole point. And all the men in the comments missed it. But like, I often see that. Someone will be like, oh my gosh, I'm so lucky. My husband cooked me dinner for Mother's Day and even did the dishes after. And that's only such a special treat because every other meal, every other day, the woman is the one planning the meal, cooking the meal, doing the dishes. Yeah. In most cases, yes, there are exceptions, not all men, yada, 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 get that out of the way. Yeah. If you are angry about the things we're saying, you are probably one of the men that we're talking about.
Exactly.
In the same way
that... Yeah. Jumping ahead with like the childcare stuff, but I talking about TikTok, I saw one the other day where this woman was like, my husband was so nice. He gave me a 2-hour break to take a nap and just relax alone. And then she was videoing her like kitchen and living room, and everything was filthy just from her relaxing and taking a break for 2 hours. So she got a break for 2 hours, but she's going to have to spend 4 hours cleaning that up and then taking care of her husband and her kids and everybody. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
All right. So the next one is married women actually do more housework, not just than their husbands, but married women do more housework than single moms. And as a single mom who has been in a position where I have lived with a man and not lived with a man, for myself, this has been true. So according to a TLC article, there was this recent study by Eunice Kennedy Shriver, National Institute of Children Health and Human Development. Wow, that's a mouthful. Anyways, this study found that married mothers or mothers who live with a male partner do more of household chores like cooking, cleaning, laundry, etc., than single mothers who live without a partner. And the reason for this is because, I'll speak for myself. As a single mother who does not live with a partner, I am taking care of myself and I'm taking care of my child who now is old enough to do a lot of things for himself. So now I'm doing even less. It's fantastic. When I was living with a man and a child, you had two people to cook for, to clean for, to do laundry for, you know what I mean? And at the time, I don't remember ever being mad that the partner that I was with didn't do any of those things because I don't think I knew that was an option, if that makes sense. Like growing up in the spaces that I did, like I assumed it was my role as much as he did to take on those things. And it was very stressful. And I was also the breadwinner and doing all of the childcare and housework. And I remember being so surprised when that relationship ended, like pleasantly surprised, because I'd been so worried about it's going to be really hard to do it on my own. And I probably don't realize how much he's helping. Well, wrong. I did not realize how much he was costing me financially, energetically, emotionally, mentally. And I was just so pleasantly surprised. And I quickly realized that life was a lot easier not living with I hate to say it, like an adult child. But like, when you have to take care of a whole adult, that's difficult. In the same way that having multiple children for one person to take care of can be difficult.
I mean, we see it all the time. And I just feel like the sad part is I feel like a lot of women don't see it and don't realize that it's happening. Or they think like, well, he went to work, so like he makes most of the money or whatever, so I should have to do all this extra. Like, no, that's not how it doesn't matter if he makes more than you or if he's works more than you. You're a partnership and you shouldn't have to do more at home. Women carry more mental load in a marriage. Women are often the ones responsible for keeping track of doctor's appointments, kids' birthdays, planning parties, knowing who is allergic to what. In fact, the disparity is so great between men and women that men often wouldn't be able to even successfully provide information at an appointment about a child. It's not uncommon for dad not to know their child's birthday, teachers' names, medication, allergies, among other things. Mental load also includes keeping track of everything that needs done in the home. So a husband might do nothing to help, and then when called out, blame the wife and say, "You should have told me what to do." The expectation here is that everything is her responsibility, and if she can't do it all, she's responsible for acting as the manager and delegating task level specifics.
Isn't that annoying?
Beyond annoying.
And I think it's such a thing that puts the man in a position to look like, not only is it not his fault, but it's your fault. You should have said something. Like, well, you need to communicate. If you needed help, you should have asked me. You should have told me. I didn't know you were stressed out. And most of the time, first of all, that's not true. Most of the time, I think that you can tell when someone's stressed out if you're paying attention at all.
Okay, I will say though, the mental load is not even just about kids. Have you ever, like men, if any of you are listening, have you ever been taking your girlfriend or your wife out to dinner and you keep asking her like, where do you want to eat? Where do you want to eat? Blah, blah, blah. Part of you doing that is adding to her mental load. Like you just picking a place. If you've been together for a while, you know what she likes. You know what she doesn't like. Take that mental load off of her. She'll tell you if she doesn't want to go there. You know what I mean? Like just the little things that you think aren't a big deal that she's got to make these decisions. She's got to make so many decisions all day, every day.
That's so true. Yeah. Like when you hear people saying, what do you want for dinner is honestly a great example. And yeah, women can pick sometimes too, whatever, but like, yeah. If you are planning a date and or you say like, hey, I want to take you out tonight. And then you're like, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Like, it is stressful. And the reason that you're asking that is because you don't want the mental load of having to figure it out. That's why you're
Exactly.
asking it. And then when she doesn't want to take that on, you're irritated with her because now you have to take it on. And there just needs to be balance. And within relationships, there are multiple studies that show that women carry the majority of the mental load when it comes to managing all the things. And one thing that I have felt is a mental load thing that I continue to carry. And granted, I'm single parent household, so it's all me, and that's fine. But meal planning. And this is something that when I had more time and I worked less, I used to actually really enjoy and get excited about. So it's not that I don't like cooking or meal planning. Like I can have a lot of fun with it. And I used to love cooking and planning stuff out and all of that. But now that I don't have the time and like additional like mental energy, it feels like such a draining thing that I dread doing. And I end up getting like meal kits because that takes a lot of that off. But when I do have to figure out what to do for dinner, even if it's like I'm going to get takeout and I have to figure out where we're getting it from, I'm like, I don't care. I just don't want to have to decide because the mental load that it takes to figure out what you're going to eat and then make the list and then collect the things and then like all of it's, I know it sounds trivial, but they add up when you are responsible for all of it, all the time for everyone.
Exactly. And in their mind, it's like, just make a decision. If you're talking about going to a restaurant or something, just make a decision on the restaurant. Well, if we've got the kid, I have to, is this a place that the kid will eat? Do I have to, there's too many things that you have to think about. And like the mental load is not just, I want to eat at fucking Taco Bell. It's, there's a lot of other things that they have to think about, things that you know the answers to too. So yeah.
If a guy wants to take me out, I most of the time don't care because I'm not like a picky eater or anything where we go. But if he's able to pick or plan it out and be like, hey, we're going to do this. I'm going to take you here, whatever. That stands out to me as such a better experience because then you don't have any of those stressors. And I like planning dates and stuff too for partners. But if I'm not planning on planning it, I don't want to have to last minute plan it because that stresses me out. Because I'm like, if I was going to plan it, I would have already had all of this taken care of. It would already be planned out and I'd be telling you where we're going. I would love for you to be able to do the same. I heard somebody say recently, they were talking about like feminism and how they want an equal partner. And they explained it in one of the best ways that I think I've ever heard. They said, I'm able to be assertive and to take the lead and to clean stuff and to cook and to do all these things. And they said, but I don't want a man who's just a pushover that I'm going to walk all over. You know, I want someone who can kind of go toe to toe with me. And when I say that, I don't necessarily mean someone who's going to challenge me or like domineer over me. I mean, I'm able to be assertive. I'm able to take the lead. I'm able to clean. I would love a man who could also do those things, who could meet me halfway, who could also sometimes take the lead, who also knew how to clean things, who also was able to be assertive and communicate with me. And I was like, that is what we mean when we say an equal partner. Like we don't mean, yeah, people just, oh, I could go on a whole feminist rant and I'll stop. But anyways, okay, next one. Moving on. This is one that I think is really interesting, actually. So we all know that most wedding vows include the statement of sticking together through sickness and health. But statistically, men tend to leave when their wives fall ill. One study showed that women are actually 6 times more likely to be divorced and abandoned by their husbands shortly after a diagnosis of cancer or multiple sclerosis. Another study determined that around 81% of all caregivers are women. So we don't see a lot of male caregivers. And what we do see is that when women start to need care, the men will leave most of the time. So my mom had a stroke several years ago now, and they have this thing, I guess if you have anyone in your family that you are caretaking for or close to, there is a thing called stroke camp. It is the retreat and refresh stroke camp. And they do it, it's across the country. They do a ton of camps all over, sponsored by different healthcare systems. And it is for stroke patients and caregivers. And while I am not my mom's primary caregiver, I have been the one to take her to this camp every year for the last several years. What is so interesting to me is that in all the years I've been there, there have been 2 male caregivers. One of them was with a woman and they had young children and she was on a really good path to recovery. He stuck through a lot and he was a great guy and did a lot for her. And then there was another guy who was the caregiver, but he actually met his wife after she had had her stroke. And their dynamic was one that she was actually the primary caregiver for him, doing like the housework and the cleaning. And she had gained a lot of function back after her stroke. And so while she was the stroke patient, she was also the primary manager of the household things in that situation. But yeah, in every other dynamic, the husbands were all there with their wives that were staying with them through their strokes. But except for that one woman whose husband stayed with her after she had the stroke, all of the other women were abandoned by their husbands afterwards, or they just weren't married when they had their strokes. And I just thought that was really interesting. And so I would be surprised if 81% isn't even a bit generous, because I don't think there are a lot of male caretakers in general. I certainly, in my experiences and the things that I've seen and, you know, the health world and some of that, it's very rare. It's very rare. And it's very common. Again, not all men. I'm sure you're the exception if you're listening. But like, I feel like men get so mad anytime we give statistics about men. And it's like, you should get mad in the same way that I get mad when I hear statistics about how white people treat black people sometimes. But I don't take it personally and think you're attacking me as a racist when I hear those things.
Right.
And if you are taking it personally and feeling attacked, it's probably because you suck.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was very rambly. We'll just
no.
So much to say tonight.
No, I have nothing to add to that except look around. You see it all the time. It's sad, but true.
Well, oh, so like, yeah. Sorry. Last point on this one. Men always talk about how, you know, oh, women are going to die alone. And like, you don't want to die alone. And like, that's the worst insult. But women are probably, like, married women are probably still going to die alone because, first of all, we outlive men. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, if we don't outlive you and die alone, you're going to leave us when we get sick anyway. So that's not.
Exactly.
But it is
also the amount of men that like don't. That think like they're big and masculine and too tough to go to the doctor. Like,
God, that one kills me. And that is actually a contributing factor to why I think that's one of the points later, why married men live longer than unmarried men. And so there's actually a lot of, I know we're talking about all of these negative impacts on women. Conversely, there's a lot of positive impacts on men when it comes to marriage. And so I think it's so interesting because while women are sold the story like, oh, you want to get married, we're sold it by men because they're highly motivated because they're the ones who actually want to end up being married. And they might want to wait until they're older because guess what? The women are going to stick around and caretake you.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm just not interested in any kind of an unbalanced dynamic.
No. And more women are seeing it. Not enough, but more are. All right, next. Financially, married women earn less, and if or when they divorce, they are significantly worse off financially than men. National longitudinal surveys data showed that approximately 44% of women fell into poverty after a divorce. Divorcing or separating mothers are 2.83 times more likely to be in poverty than those who remain married. Following a divorce, women are more likely to be impoverished than men. Women whose family income was below the national median and mothers who were not in the workforce before the divorce are very likely to experience poverty following their divorce. Economically, women suffer more from divorce than men. Though child support helps the women avoid poverty after divorce, it does not help as much as most think. Over 35% of custodial mothers receiving child support were impoverished 16 to 18 months following the divorce, while only 10.5% of all non-custodial fathers, those paying child support and those not, were impoverished.
Yeah, so basically, men always talk about how women just rip them off and they just get loaded off of the divorce. And statistically, basically, it's saying that that's not actually how it pans out. Women tend to be more poor, actually in poverty even, shortly after divorce, where very few fathers, even those who are paying their child support, are affected at that level. So
also, it's funny how, like, when you think about if a woman, a single mom, say, is working and has to take off because the kid's sick, they're automatically like, oh my gosh, like, it's a more annoying. But if a single dad's like, oh, I got to take off, like, my kids, I got to take care of my kid, like, oh my gosh, it's a great dad taking care of his kid. And it's like,
yep. There was another study that showed that in interviews, men and women who mention that they have children are perceived very differently. If a father mentions in an interview that he has children, he's immediately seen as like, oh, like, that, we love that here. Family man, like a real family man, strong mm-hmm. character. You're married with kids and, you know, some woman had sex with you and we love that. Where women, if they mention having children, nobody is like, wow, we love that here. You're clearly a family woman. You clearly have great values. You stayed and took care of your children. Amazing. We love to see it. Because the bar is on the floor for men and it's not for women. And also because how mothers are perceived in the workplace is different from how fathers are perceived in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks. And I could go on and on and do a whole episode about that. And maybe we will one day.
Maybe we will.
But I will
maybe
shut
we
up
should.
For now.
All right. Divorced women tend to continue the responsibilities of parenting children full time, while men typically will get to swoop in and be the fun parent every other weekend if they choose to stay involved with the kids at all.
I think this is a really important point because, and I guess this isn't true for just divorced women. This is true for women who have children with men in general. Women tend to be the primary caretakers of those children. That is another area that impacts the work because as a single mother, if you have a child, especially, I mean, I have one child and I feel fortunate in that. I love my child. And at the same time, I can't imagine how much more difficult things would be if I had two children. I mean, like if you had to take off time because one kid was sick and then the next week, the next kid is sick, you can't take 2 weeks off from anywhere for like, oh, my kid's sick. Like that's not well received in corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are women starting off in a worse position because they've probably taken years off from the workforce to serve their husband and support his career and care for his children, but then they're going back into the workplace, not only with a gap in their resume, but with however many children they have and little to no support for those children. And yeah, anyways, this ties into that really well. So if your husband decides to fight for custody, he will probably get it. So while women tend to be the caretakers, we have this extra fun fact of if your husband does want the kids, if he just is like, no, I think I want them, he will probably get them. While child custody is awarded to women over 90% of the time, this is not because courts favor women. This is due to the fact that men typically do not want custody. In fact, only 4% of men actually fight for custody. 27% abandon their children altogether in cases of divorce. And according to one article, 94% of fathers who sought custody got sole or joint custody. Abusive fathers, it was noted, are especially successful, 72% win their custody cases. And in one study where both parents fought hard for custody, mothers were awarded custody just 7% of the time. Only in a patriarchal society does 93% win rate somehow equate in the mind of men to male victimhood. Because men always say, do you not always hear men like, well, they always favor the mother.
Yep.
They don't favor the mother. Courts
they
actually
don't.
Favor the father. Fathers don't want their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly
that
it.
Is a whole separate conversation and problem in society.
And the amount of men that don't even want their kids, but they just want to hurt their wife, their ex-wife,
yes.
whatever, and
that
use
was actually
their kids.
Noted in some of the studies that I was reading,
mm-hmm.
there were several cases where they said that men who had little to no engagement with the child during the marriage, like maybe they were traveling all the time, maybe they, you know, they were really unengaged fathers. They definitely weren't, they were never putting the kids to bed or doing anything, like really removed. Sometimes those were the ones to fight the hardest for custody.
Yeah.
Just to you know.
Because they don't know the work that it actually takes to be a
parent.
Well,
and they don't want to have to pay the child support. And
yeah,
then
that too.
What it was showing was that, you know, because then they get custody, but then what tends to happen is that because men still tend to not be the caregivers, they then hand the children off to a parent or a new spouse or whatever else to actually do the caretaking of those children.
Yeah. And I feel like so many men just like don't care, don't want, like want to just be done with the divorce and let her have what, you know what I mean? Because they don't want to put in the work and actually be the parent that when they see a man trying to like step up and I want my kids, these are my kids, I'll do anything for them, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter how shitty of a person he is or how abusive he is or anything. That's a man wanting to take care of his kids. So they automatically just give them to him. And it just ends up like fucking up these kids for life and they don't care. And that's not all men, but whatever. So single, childless women are statistically happier than married women. A recent study revealed that single, childless women are far from sad, lonely spinsters. In fact, They are the happiest demographic and often happier and healthier than men or married women.
That's true. It's so funny because I remember recently there was a conversation we had I was with a bunch of friends and like the kids were there and the kids were kind of like asking all several of them, like my girlfriend's group, relationship questions. And somebody pointed out like, well, Erin's not married. Are you sure she's, you know, the one you want to ask relationship questions to? And my son was there and he piped up and he was like, yeah, but she's probably the only one that's actually happy. And it was so funny, but it was also like very true. I'm not married and I don't think that I will ever get married, you know, never say never, but I don't think that I will. And, but yeah, I've been a lot happier not living with a man, or you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't mean I don't have romantic relationships. It just, yeah, I don't think that marriage is a, what is the word I'm spacing? But like, I don't think that marriage is a kind of grounding point of success status, because I don't think that marriage is all it's cracked up to be.
I feel like a lot of men look at marriage as control, like having control. You know what I mean? Like, not all of them, but I feel like besides like insurance and shit, like, what is the point?
Because I think, well, historically, when you're married to a man, he kind of like owns you now. And that's the whole concept behind, it's actually kind of fucked up. When we talk about like old traditions that are like kind of weird that we still do, the father giving you away. Like, so, you know, historically you've had these cases where women pledge their virginity to their fathers because it's like your father owns you until he gives you away to your husband, who then you take his last name and he now owns you. And I realize that we've evolved some since then, but I think a lot of that foundational mindset is still a bit engraved in us, even if we're not spelling it out in such a clear way.
It's actually kind of gross if you think about it.
Yeah. And that is the end of part one of this episode, Is Marriage a Scam for Women? Go to the next episode for the rest of our studies, as well as our music and Dish Bish section where we finish everything out.
Thanks so much for listening. If you made it this far, please subscribe if you haven't yet. Give us a positive review and write some kind feedback. This means so much to us and is a way that you can help and support us that costs you nothing.
Follow us on social media at Get Comfortable Pod, or send an email to getcomfortablepodcast@gmail.com. Bye.
Bye.